start with prayer so we can get back on track. Dear Lord God, we are so excited to be here all together, to be able to sit under your word. What a blessing it is, a kindness of you, that you would allow us to do this and to have a place to come and meet together. Thank you for your word, that it's clear, it's powerful. Thank you that you, that it just us being here is evidence of your grace that you richly pour out on us. Thank you, Jesus, that you died and rose again on our behalf, that we could, those who repent and believe in you. Thank you that you, God, made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become your righteousness through him. Thank you, Lord, that we have that promise. And forgive us when we so often turn against you in our hearts and we seek our own way. We think that what we have or what we know is is better somehow. Thank you that you, in your kindness, forgive us and bring us back, draw us back. Thank you for giving us each other to remind each other and to help each other. And we just pray that this whole morning will just be an honor to you and a glory to your name as we encourage each other with your word and as we encourage each other with our lives. May you receive all the glory. In your son's name we pray, amen. Excuse me, I got kind of a frog in my throat. Well, today is going to be kind of a different day for us because Chris Evans was going to be teaching us, but she is not feeling well. And she was able to teach on Wednesday, so we have the recording. So we're going to listen to her teach. But that means we're all going to have to be extra careful with our hearts and with our ears, because it'll be harder to be attentive maybe, because we won't have her up here being animated and everything. So anyway, we'll just pray that we'll be good listeners. So we have been so far learning about our hearts. We've been learning about how they're our inner man, the command central of all that we do and think and decisions we make and everything. We've been seeing that where our hearts are still in this mixed condition, right? That's what we learned from Smedley. And that our hearts are still prone to wander back to sinful behaviors. So we must shepherd our hearts toward God and his word. And we have to remind our hearts of this new way of thinking. It's not just going to happen. We have to remind our hearts and drag our hearts there to God's word and to align our hearts with what God, to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. So that's what we're about reminding ourselves of every time we meet together. Today, we get to look at what God's word says specifically to women. So it's going to be a really cool way to start our year, kind of on that lesson where we get to see God's instruction for us as women, and it's very clear, and it helps us know what we're to be about, you know, as women in the church. So before we start the recording, we're going to talk about the Wellspring disciplines. So hopefully they're becoming a little more familiar to you if this is your first year. And I'm going to start by getting my Bible real quick. As I've been in my reading plan, I read a little bit ago through Hosea, and I thought this would be a good way to share the disciplines, because I want to help you guys to see how these disciplines are biblical. They're not just some man's idea of a neat way to shepherd our hearts. It's from God's word. And as you work through your reading plan and as you get more familiar with God's word, you'll start to see the concept of these disciplines everywhere in God's word. So I'm going to if you guys want to open your Bibles to Hosea, starting in chapter 5, I'm just going to kind of point out a few things that I noticed to help us do this. And then we'll go back to the disciplines. So let's look at Hosea 5 together. And I'll give you some context. You may know the story of Hosea. He was called by God to be a prophet to Israel, and that meant that he would be a tangible example to them with his life. God told him, go and marry a harlot and have children with her. And as you can guess, she wasn't faithful to him, and she had to endure the consequences of that unfaithfulness. But as Hosea brought her back and forgave her sins and that she did against him and had mercy and compassion on him, it was a picture of how God loved Israel, even while they were sinning against him. And it showed the mercy that he would pour out on Judah, the house of Judah, in the same way. So Israel's sin was real, and they were held accountable for those sins. So let's just look at some of those sins that God was holding against them. Starting in chapter 4, let's read in chapter 5, verse 4, it says that their deeds will not allow them to return to their God, for a spirit of harlotry is within them, and they do not know Yahweh. So, and then skip down to verse 13. Then Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah his sore. So Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, but he was unable to heal them, or cure their sore. So even though they saw some of their sin and their sickness, and they sought out the king of Assyria to help them instead of looking to the Lord. So that's something that I feel like I do sometimes when I have a problem. So I can't see myself here too. Then it goes on. Let's turn over to chapter 7 and verse 13 through 16. I'll just read that. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction is theirs, for they have transgressed against me. And I would redeem them, but they speak lies against me, and they do not cry out to me in their heart. When they wail on their beds for the sake of grain and new wine, they gather together as sojourners, they depart from me. Although I disciplined and strengthened their arms, yet they devise evil against me. They turn, but not upward. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes will fall by the sword because of the indignation of their tongue. This will be their scorning in the land of Egypt, which, by the way, is another place they're going to run to look for help rather than looking to God. So this is just a glimpse of the depth of their sin against their living holy God. But notice in chapter 6 and 14, God's mercy. So let's look in chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. There's a call out through Hosea to repentance. God is always warning them and calling them out to turn. So in verse 1 through 3, in verse chapter 6, he says, come, let us return to Yahweh, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has struck us, but he will bandage us. He will make us alive after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know, let us pursue to know Yahweh. His going forth is established as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the late rain watering the earth. And then it goes on. There's another call to repentance in chapter 14. So let's look over at that. Chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. He says, return, O Israel, to Yahweh your God, for you have stumbled in your iniquity. Take words with you and return to Yahweh. Say to him, forgive all iniquity and take what is good, that you may pay, or that we may pay in full the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God, with a lowercase g, to the work of our hands. For in you the orphan finds compassion. And then down in verse 9, there's a reminder that all these things are written for our instruction. Whoever is wise, so let him discern these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of Yahweh are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. So it's a pretty bleak picture of what our sin nature does to us when we leave it unchecked. Some thoughts that came through my mind were, Israel proved to be a poor shepherd of their hearts. They were easily drawn back to pursue their own comforts, to trust in their own understanding of who their rescuer should be. In their eagerness to be done with their suffering, they looked to everything but Yahweh, their God, who is full of mercy, compassion, and love for them. Yahweh's desire was to come to them, to love them freely, to have them flourish and live at peace with him, yet they would not listen. God wanted to transform them, form them in order to strengthen them for his purposes, and we know that those purposes were to preserve a line for the perfect Savior to come through, the only sure rescue and cure of their sin problem before their holy God. So here are some questions that I have to ask myself, and hopefully they will be helpful for you too. Let's turn over our notebooks and look at the disciplines and the purpose and our verse together and see how we can connect these things. First, our verse, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And then the purpose, to equip and encourage the women of Grace Bible Church to shepherd their hearts toward Jesus Christ with the word of God, so that they live gospel-transformed lives, thus strengthening the church in its gospel purpose. So when I think through Hosea, and I think about that, I have to ask myself, where am I trusting in the wrong thing? Where am I getting off track and turning away from the very thing that God is seeking to use in my life to transform me into a better, more useful instrument in his hands? Am I forgetting that this battle for holiness is about so much more than just me and being comfortable? It's about strengthening Christ's church to be fruitful in its purpose. Am I being a good shepherd of my heart? Then let's look at D1, the heart. The faithful woman of God shepherds her heart worshipfully toward God through the word of God, and in particular the gospel. So then I have to ask myself, how am I more concerned with the daily duties of life, doing them in my own strength, than I am bringing them to the light of the gospel and to God's word, to be able to see them rightly and give them proper weight, to remember that God's ways are perfect, that he is not a man, he is Yahweh. His desire is to save me in order to sanctify me, to transform me into a righteous one fit for heaven, and in the meantime, to make me a useful worker in the lives of those around me for his sake. All these things keep rolling around in my head, and then I realize God is the one who's doing the work in me. I just need to be faithful to bring myself there, to position myself in a place where I can remember these things and where he can change my heart, right? So then we go on to D2, the home. The faithful woman of God is concerned for those in her home and ministers to them with her heart fixed on God and His Word. So then I'm thinking, how can I possibly minister well to those in my home if my heart is weighed down with worldly thinking and self-grasping behaviors? How can I point my children and roommates and spouse or guests in my home to gospel truths if I'm not first dwelling on them and pursuing them prayerfully with all of my heart? So you see how this changes your thinking, and it gets you outside of yourself to think, yes, I need to remember God is the one working in me. I need to focus on His words. His words are true, not the thinking of the world around me. So then D3, the ministry. With my heart fixed on God and keeping her God-given ministry within her home a priority, the faithful woman of God steps into the church and every part of life to shepherd others toward God and the gospel. How can I even see the needs of others around me if I am blinded by my sin, the sin in my own heart, focused on my own needs and how they're not being met? I found this section in Psalm 119. If you want to turn there, you don't have to, but you can. I'm just going to call out some of the truths from there that really helped me remember what God is doing. And then after I do that, you guys see the words for this song, Your Words Are Wonderful. I don't know if you guys know the tune because it's kind of a newer song, but we're going to all sing it together this morning. Another thing is we have these songbooks. If you're new, these should have been in your notebook. And the people who've been here before probably have one of these. So not everyone needs to take one. Rachel was kind enough to set some out today, because this song is in the latest one. So I'm not sure if all of you have it, but I gave you copies of the words so we can sing it together this morning. I just wanted to point out that I think that song is in this book if you have the newest version. I have one that's really tiny, and I've had it for years, so it has all the old songs, which is kind of fun. But anyway, I'm going to call out some truths from chapter 119, and it's the section 145 to 176, and I'm not going to read every word. I'm just going to call out some things that stood out to me to help me as I was thinking through all those things from Hosea. I call out to Yahweh with all my heart. Observe His statutes, wait for His words, muse on His words. He will revive me according to His judgments. His commandments are true. They are founded forever by Him. Yahweh sees my affliction and rescues me. He revives me according to His word. Salvation is far from the wicked. Why? Because they do not seek God's statutes. Many are His compassions. He revives me according to His judgments. The sum of His word is truth, and every one of His righteous judgments is everlasting. Those who love the law have much peace. Nothing can cause them to stumble. All my ways are before Him. He sees and knows. Yet I keep His precepts and His testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I gain much because of God's perfect word, His nearness, understanding from His word, deliverance, direction, and help according to His word, a longing for His salvation, to live in order to praise Him, a shepherd who will seek me out and when I wander off like a lost sheep and remind me of truth. Why would I ever want to go anywhere else? And why would I not want to work hard to bring myself, my wayward heart, to this God and His word often, that I might be trained in righteousness to grow in godliness? I'm just going to say a prayer and then we'll sing our song. And then I'll try to get the recording going. Okay. Oh God, we need your help. Help us, we pray. We desperately need your saving grace in our lives. We are so like Israel, turning away from the good things that you have for us, refusing to trust and obey your words, thinking that we know what is best. Please forgive us and renew our minds with your truth. May we be more eager to pursue you in your word and be doers of what you tell us. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. So it starts out, your words, just so you know. That's the first note. Your words are wonderful, unfolding like the dawn. A wellspring and the rock we rest upon. We trust your promises that keep our hope alive. They steady us through life's weary climb. Where else can we go? Where else can we go? You have the words of life, the words of life. Come, write your holy truth upon our longing hearts and strengthen us to shine against the dark. Oh, guard us from the